Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners around the world, and also to welcome to the show four exciting, talented, clever individuals who play this game quite frequently. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair, and seated on my left, Graham Norton and Josie Lawrence. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Sitting beside me is Sarah Sharp. She's going to help me with a score. She'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we're going to begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, oh, what an interesting subject. If I were a superhero, tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
If I were a superhero, I suppose the power I would like to have above all others would be invisibility. To be invisible would be
Jody, you challenged him.
Hesitation.
Yes, hesitation, repetition of being, all those other things, but... it's...
Still a very nice man, though.
I know, but we can't have that sort of charity in this show.
We can't.
And so, Josie, you had a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course. And you take over the subject. And there are 49 seconds available. If I were a superhero, starting now.
If I were a superhero, I would like to have the power to go zoom and just stop things and then go in and change them around into something else that would please me more. I'll give you an example. I was watching the telly with my friend Sandy, and I told her about this power I'd like to have. She didn't realise I was sitting next to the remote control.
Jenny Challenge.
She did say power twice.
Yes, that's right.
I'm so sorry, Josie, because it was a lovely story and I was really looking for it.
Was power not in the title?
No, it's just if I were a superhero.
If I were a superhero.
It's true, yes. You're quite right, Jenny. Carry on. Mm-hmm.
Well done, me.
So, Jenny, you have a correct challenge. You have a point and you take over the subject. And there are 29 seconds available. If I were a superhero, starting now.
If I were a superhero, I wouldn't wear a cape. What a nonsense article of clothing, getting trapped in car doors and lifts, such like. I would don a sensible pair of running shoes, as superheroes often have to go hither and thither very quickly indeed. My power would be discretion, which is odd for a woman. And people would tell me their secrets and I wouldn't let on. I wonder how long that would last.
So, Jenny, speaking as the whistle went, and in this game, just to remind you, whoever is talking as the whistle goes gets an extra point. So, Jenny, you are in the lead at the end of that round. And we'd like you to begin the next round, because I think it's been chosen for you. Swimming in the sea. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I do like to swim in the sea. The other day, I plunged off Canberra sand. Some people...
Josie Challenge.
Hesitation.
That was a hesitation, yes.
I was about to talk about my swimsuit and just the thought of it upset me. So it's a good job we didn't go there.
No, it doesn't matter.
Got a lovely little figure.
So there are 54 seconds still available, Josie. Swimming in the sea, starting now.
There's a wonderful island in the Maldives called Beardo. I am such a brilliant swimmer and...
Graham Challenge.
It's just showing off. Maldives.
Canberra sand.
Yeah. That's more like
it. I'm down with the people.
I know they listen all over the world, but seriously.
I can't tell it's the glamorous lifestyle I lead.
I say deviation.
What do you mean, do you know?
From humanity.
Oh, shut up. They're just jealous.
No, we loved hearing from you, Graham. So, I'm sorry, she wasn't deviating. So she has another point. She has 48 seconds. Swimming in the sea, Josie, starting now.
You can cut a little coral hole.
Graham Challenge.
Repetition of little.
Yes, you did say it was a lovely little island there. So, Graham, a correct challenge, and you have a point. Of course, you have 46 seconds still available. Swimming in the sea, starting now.
There's a lot of fuss about pollution these days. But I remember as a child, when you came home from the beach, you were covered in great big oil slicks.
Joey, challenge.
Sorry, he did say slicks. Or is that me being finickety?
That's yes. Irish for oil slick.
I think it's a bit pernickety.
It's an old slick.
Carry on.
Yes. No, we all knew what he meant. Yes. Right. So you have incorrect challenge, Graham. Another point to you. 35 seconds available. Swimming in the sea, starting now.
Swimming in the sea is a nice idea. But unless you're the sort of crazy rich individual looking swan off to the Maldives, the rest of us are trapped here in Britain, where it's quite grim, and I've noticed always very cold. If God wanted us to swim in the sea, surely he'd have made it a little bit warmer. Fish are ugly. Who wants to join them to play? Cattle, they're attractive. Go walking in a field. This could be deviation, but I'm going to keep going.
Paul, you challenge.
Deviation. I thought about walking in a field as opposed to swimming in the sea.
Right, well done, Paul. You've come in there with 6 seconds to go. That is the game. 6 seconds, Paul. Swimming in the sea, starting now.
The first time I swam in the sea, it was at Clacton. I was about 5 years old. My mother looked at me. She said, swim towards...
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. They're all equal now. No, Josie's 1 point ahead of the other three. And Josie, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, the best thing about going to the hairdresser... 60 seconds, starting now.
The best thing about going to the hairdresser is the whole caboodle. I love the experience. My hairdressers are quite close to me, so it's only walking distance. When I get in there, they say, hey, Josie, how are the cats? Actually, no, they don't say that. They say, hey, Josie, how's that?
You can't repeat what people say.
No, I can't.
No, and Paul, you got in first.
I was telling the truth.
Yes, the truth is sometimes repetitious. And... Hey, Josie was repeated.
Yeah, right. Yes. The best thing about going to the hairdressers is with you, Paul.
Paul doesn't go to the hairdressers. He's now giving me
I don't get my hair cut in Disneyland, that's for sure.
How do you know he hasn't spent ages at the hairdressers trying to get that particular look?
Well, this look.
Yes.
Have you? Have I?
Yes, have you? I don't know.
Why?
I was suggesting that you might have done.
No.
No, right, okay. Paul, you've got in with the correct challenge. You have the best thing about going to the hairdresser. 44 seconds, starting now.
The best thing about going to the hairdresser, particularly ladies' hairdressers in the 1960s, was the overwhelming smell of peroxide that used to come through the door. And immediately, I didn't know what it was. I would say to my mother, what is that curious aroma that emanates from those huge things they put on your head? And she told me what it was, but she'd also...
Jenny Challenge.
She and she.
Yes, with a lot of she's.
Sorry, I was being horribly pernickety, Paul, and I do apologise. I'll only do that once. Oh, look, he's winning already, probably.
No, actually, you're winning, Jenny. And you've now gone further into the lead with another point and 26 seconds on the best thing about going to the hairdresser, starting now.
I love going to the hairdressers because when I get my hair bleached...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of I.
Paul, that was correct challenge.
It was. Very boring one, yeah. but correct anyway.
It underlies the fact that if you get pernickety, you're going to get retaliated.
Right.
So, Paul, you've got the subject back. 23 seconds. The best thing about going to the hairdresser, starting now.
The best thing about going to the hairdressers for me is to find somebody who doesn't talk to me. I hate that chat about have you been anywhere for your holidays. Isn't it nice for this time of year? Or who do you think's going to marry the prince?
Jenny Challenge.
Deviation, it is nice for this time of the year. He said, is it nice this time of the year? And, no, I'm sorry, I'll take that one.
So, an incorrect challenge again, Jenny. And, Paul, you have another point. The best thing about going to the hairdresser and 12 seconds starting now.
The best thing about going to the hairdressers, undoubtedly, is the free access to public radio. It's turned on the wireless in the corner and you find yourself hearing all sorts of news from all sorts...
Jenny Janice.
All sorts of news.
Yes. Deviation from
Deviation from normal language.
Or English as we understand it.
Absolutely.
And Jenny, you've got in with 1 second to go. You've got another point, but you haven't got many friends in the audience.
So... I don't need them.
Right. And you have 1 second on best thing about going to the hairdresser, starting now.
Bleaching my hair.
So, Jenny, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. She's now equal with Paul Merton in the lead. The other two are just behind them. And Graham Norton, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject, pocket money. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Pocket money is very important for young children because it teaches them a very valuable life lesson, and that is most people are richer than them. They can't buy very much with their pocket money because it's about, well, when I was a child, it was about 50p. I said about twice, there you go.
Jodie Chance.
He said was about twice.
Yes, he
it
did.
Was
yes,
repetition.
Yes, I did. It was all terrible.
Oh,
yeah, I feel so, Josie, you have the subject. You have 42 seconds. Pocket money starting now.
When I was little, my father was hard of hearing, so when I...
Graham Challenge.
What?
I think she was trying to say hard of hearing.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
I did. I burped slightly as I said hearing.
I know. I think we understood what you were trying to say, so maybe...
Anyway, he was Cockney, so he was hard of hearing, wasn't he?
Yes.
He came from the Midlands, didn't he?
I'm a foreigner.
No, he's a sharp one. So, benefit of the doubt.
Oh, bless you.
And so if it's against Graham, I try and redress the balance later by giving a benefit of the doubt to Graham, if I can. But 39 seconds are with you, Josie, on pocket money starting now.
So, when I asked him if I could have some pocket money, he gave me a sculpture of a very tiny French impressionist to keep in my pocket. This was Monet, of course. My mother then gave me threepence. Can you remember those old coins? I ran down to the tuck shop and decided to buy myself a lucky bag of sweets. I used to love sucking on a spaceship. That's not a euphemism. A spaceship is a piece...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of spaceship.
Yes. 12 seconds. It's now available, Paul, for you to tell us something about pocket money, starting now.
I remember when I was first given pocket money, around about the age of 11 years old. I think it equated to about 5 shillings a week.
Josie Challenge.
Sorry, there were two abouts there.
Oh, darling. Yes, there were two abouts, weren't there? So, Josie, you have it. We usually let abouts and O's and ums and a go. 5 seconds, pocket money, starting now.
Blue Ribbon was my favourite chocolate bar. It cost 2 pence, but I loved it so much that I would...
So, Josie Lawrence, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and with others in the round, she has now taken the lead ahead of Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, and Graham Norton in that sequence. And, Paul, we're back with you to begin. The subject we now is the perfect excuse. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
The perfect excuse, well, it has to be tied in with some period of history. I'm sorry I'm late, I travelled here on the Titanic. Would be a perfect excuse if the year was 1912 and you were trying to explain your absence to your employee, why you had been maybe 3 weeks attending late's work when you shouldn't have been. That didn't make any sense, but it doesn't matter. On the other hand...
Graham Challenge.
It matters. I felt it didn't make any sense. It was a deviation from...
Deviation, yes. So you've got him on his deviation, which he admitted before you challenged. But 44 seconds for you, Graham. The perfect excuse starting now.
The perfect excuse, if your doorbell goes and you're not sure who's there, is to put on your coat and then open said gap in your wall. And if it's a welcome visitor, you say, I just got in. If you don't like the person, you reveal that you're just leaving.
Jenny Challenge.
Person and person.
There were two persons then.
Whatever.
Jenny, you have 28 seconds on the perfect excuse, starting now.
If you are a woman, the perfect excuse for your male boss is, I'm very sorry, I have to visit the gynecologist. He will not ask any further questions. Another great excuse for doing absolutely nothing is the purchase of an iPad. Ever since I've had one of those gadgets, me has done nothing. Gaga.
Josie, you challenge.
Me thinks she made a mistake.
Yes, grammatically it was deviation, was it?
I went horribly remedial, and I'm glad you stopped me. Thank you,
cute,
Josie. No, it wasn't cute. It was horrible.
It wasn't horrible. It was entertaining. And you've got in, Josie, with 4 seconds to go on the perfect excuse, starting now.
The perfect excuse is only excusable if people believe you.
So, Josie Lawrence was again speaking as the whistle went and creased her lead at the end of the round. Jenny, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is doodles. I don't know whether you are a doodler or not, but talk on the subject. 60 seconds starting now.
I am a doodler. Even playing just a minute, I have a pen, paper, doodling away, sometimes squares.
Paul Challenge.
Deviation, the paper's completely blank. There's not a single doodle on it.
That is a doodle, ladies and gentlemen. It is a tiny doodle, but it is a doodle.
I think it'd be a good idea to show it to the chairman. I can hardly see it.
It's a minute doodle.
No, I wouldn't interpret that as a doodle. I don't know. Nah, no. It's too late now.
What about that doodle?
It's too late now, darling. You did make out that you were doodling and you didn't. And Paul has drawn our attention to the fact... I know this is radio and you can't see what's going on, but it's... but I have to be fair with the obvious visual rules that must apply. And, Paul, you have 53 seconds on doodles starting now.
It's amazing the people that aren't locked up in psychiatric institutions. When you think of all the various individuals walking around London, I often doodle in front of myself a little piece of paper here and a drawing. I see somebody in the front row and I just do their eyes and their hair and then their brows.
Jenny Challenge.
Three theirs.
Well, they were rather close together,
yes,
but... 37 seconds, Jenny, on doodles starting now.
If you're a famous artist, you can get away without paying for your dinner by doodling on the serviette. Unfortunately, this doesn't work for stand-up comics. Scribbling a joke on a napkin will not cut the mustard at a certain... yes.
Josie Challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I would interpret that as hesitation. Josie, so you now have the subject, and you have 21 seconds. Doodles starting now.
Doodles are supposed to be a kind of rumination of your inner psyche. I doodle a lot when I'm on the phone to people if I have a pen, and it's usually a doodle of a snail or a flower. What does this mean, I hear you ask, Graham? Well, I shall tell you.
Graham Janet.
I said nothing. Also, while we're talking, is that a flower? That's a picture of a flower. That's a drawing,
no,
not
I'll
a doodle.
Show you what I do. I
don't want to see it. That's a flower. That's a picture of a flower.
I've never known so much visual work in a radio show before. Graham, I said if I had a chance to give you the benefit of the doubt, as it was against Josie last time, you have it this time. You have the correct challenge. And you've only 2 seconds to go on doodles starting now.
Bailey is my labradoodle. Do you see what I've done there?
Well, it's an extremely close contest this week, if you're interested in that. But the points are that... Josie is still in the lead, just ahead of Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair, equal in second place, and then Graham Norton, 1 point behind. And, Josie, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, a nice subject for you. Florence Nightingale. Tell us something about that great woman in this game, starting now.
I played Florence Nightingale in a school play once, so I know a tad about her. Florence's birthplace was indeed Florence, and funnily enough, her sister, Frances, was born in Italy. Now, from a very, very...
Paul Challenge.
Very, very.
Yes. Very, very, yes. We can't let those go.
It's true.
And so, Paul, you've got the subject of Florence Nightingale, and you have 43 seconds starting now.
She had this protuberance on her face. She was known as the Lady with the Lump. And in the Crimean War, she would go around and she would say to the soldiers, "How are you feeling today? You're looking a little bit under the weather." And she would administer her balm, soothing calmness, and her nursing skills would give her great renown and fame throughout her entire life. And when she retired, people were so grateful that she actually looked at the core of nursing and seen how...
Judy Challenge.
Nursing was
yes,
twice.
Yes, talk about nursing.
Sorry,
yes,
Paul.
Right. No, no to apologise, a correct challenge, darling. 16 seconds. Josie, back with you. Florence Nightingale starting now.
During the Crimean War, she was indeed known as the woman with the lantern. She used this on her rounds because if not, it would be too dark and she would trip over people, I guess. When she got back from the war, she set up a wonderful establishment to help...
So Josie Lawrence was again speaking as a whistle wind. Gained that extra point, has increased her lead. And Graham, we're with you to begin, and the subject is how to scare a small child. I do think that's a weird subject, don't they? Graham. Off you go, 60 seconds starting now.
When it comes to children, it's important to remember that they're just like people, only smaller. So if you want to scare one, say 3 or 4 years old, just let them watch a video of The Exorcist or the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's quite hard to say. And they will be terrified out of their wits. I imagine you'll hear them screaming all the way down the street. The social worker...
Paul Challenge.
Well, it was a repetition of...
That's a medical condition, Paul.
That is a medical condition. If it's a medical condition, I withdraw my challenge. Is it a medical condition?
No, no, it isn't, because in this just a minute, it was a vocal sound. You know, and...
You've got it as well. It is a medical condition.
His Graham Norton impressions are getting marvellous.
Yeah.
It's uncanny. It's like looking into a mirror. If I own that jacket.
Anyway, Paul, correct challenge. You have 37 seconds. How to scare a small child starting now.
Auntie Jenny's coming to see you.
Graham, new challenge.
I'll go with hesitation.
Do you know, I don't know how you spotted that.
I have played the game before, Nicholas, actually.
So, yes, a definite hesitation. And 30 seconds are available. How to scare a small child, Graham, starting now.
You could go up to children and say, now, I don't want to upset you, but your parents are trying to sell you. That could often make them cry. How we laughed. They ran away going, Mommy, Daddy, are you trying to sell me? For some... Oh, I said that already.
Jenny Challenge.
Double sell.
Yeah, double sell. Right. So, my Jenny, bad. You've got in on the subject. How to scare a small child. 17 seconds starting now.
I once bumped into an old boyfriend who was with his small child and said to that kiddie, I could have been your mother. Should have seen Brat's face. Oh, it fell to pieces. Screaming down the street. The other thing you can do is say, I am the bogey.
So, Jenny and Claire was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, and she's moved forward. She's equal with Paul Merton in second place. They're a point or two behind Josie Lawrence, who's in the lead, and Graham Norton is bringing up the rear magnificently.
Too easy.
Whatever you do...
He's still doing his Graham Norton impression.
Whatever you do is magnificent, friend. Paul, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is the biggest cheapskate I know. 60 seconds starting now.
The biggest cheapskate I know isn't here tonight, but sometimes that individual does play just a minute. I won't identify them as either a man or a woman, but let me give you one example of how cheap this individual can be. Well, actually, I can't, because if I give you some clues, you will be able to work out the exact... It's a bit like one of those super injunctions. I should give you the initials. Perhaps that way you won't be able to... If I initialise the individual, you might not be able to...
Any challenge?
Couple of individuals.
Yes, more than one individual there. So, Jenny, you've cleverly got in. Not cleverly, but quite naturally. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it. You were clever to be the first to get in.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nicholas. Yes. 34 seconds. The biggest cheapskate I know starting now.
I think it might be my mother, who is the only woman I know to have cut up her own wedding dress to make a lampshade. She has also had the same piece of tin foil for 35 years. Another contender is my sister, who doesn't believe in central heating or tumble dryers. Consequently, her towels remove your skin, as they're all horrid and scratchy. I can't bear cheapskates. There's nothing worse than being out with a bloke who will not open his wallet for you. How rude is that?
So, Jenny and Claire cleverly get going until the whistle went and gained that extra point. And I've just been told we're going into the final round. And, Jenny, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is, which you require in this game, don't you? Quick thinking. 60 seconds starting now.
Unfortunately, I am not a quick thinker, which is a disappointment. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean that. Disadvantage! Yes.
It doesn't matter. Josie, you challenge.
Well, she said disappointment, but I knew she meant to say disadvantage.
But she hesitated, didn't she?
Yeah.
Well done, Josie. Right.
I love him.
55 seconds on the quick thinking with you, Josie, starting now.
If somebody says to me in a panic, Quick, think of something. I immediately think of a monkey singing that old music.
Paul Chalmers.
Oh, it's a bit harsh, but it is a repetition of think.
Yes, you see, thinking is on the card, which
yes,
you can repeat
I know.
As often as you
it's
like.
All right.
47 seconds, Paul, on quick thinking starting now.
Formula One drivers have to have very quick thinking as their car approaches the bends of those various tracks you see around the world. They are very dedicated...
Josie Challis.
There's two verys.
Yes, they are very. Well done. Well done. Listen, Josie. 38 seconds. Quick thinking starting now.
You have to have a lot of quick thinking, especially on panel shows, because if you don't think quickly, then this kind of thing happens.
Paul Challis again.
No, it's repetition of think.
Think, you see. Think is on the card.
But I timed it, don't you see?
Yeah, you timed it beautifully and got a nice laugh.
Thank you.
But unfortunately, it was incorrect. So Paul's got in again with 31 seconds on quick thinking starting now.
One way to ward off Alzheimer's, apparently, is to do crossword puzzles. Stephen Fry swears by the Sunday Times version. I myself like to have a go at the Guardian quick one on the back page of the G2 part of that newspaper. A good way to make sure that you are quick thinking is to test your various verbal skills against other members of the entertainment profession on a popular radio show such as this called Just the Minute, which is being broadcast here on Radio 4. And...
Graham Challenge.
Repetition of radio.
Yes, radio programme, Radio 4.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah.
So, well, listen, Graham. And you cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go on quick thinking starting now.
Quick thinking is terribly important.
So, Graham Norton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's finished up then only just in fourth place. No, it's in third place, actually, because there's a second equal. Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair are equal in second place. Out in the lead, a few points ahead of them all, was Josie Lawrence. So we say, Josie, you are our winner this week. So it remains for me to say thank you to these four fine, challenging players of the game, Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, Josie Lawrence, Graham Norton. We thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so delicately when the 60 seconds elapsed. We're grateful to our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game, and we're grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre who've cheered us on our way. So from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, goodbye. Thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute.